Hello, Ant. That wasn't very good. That was like a terrible start.
Okay, start now.
I could tell before hello got out, I could tell the first, and hey, that was not going to be the trademark hoser's beginning.
Okay.
Let's do that again.
I'm ready.
From the top. Hello and welcome to episode 289 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Was that better, Adam?
It's way better.
That's what I thought. I thought I could do this. I rarely take a second take.
Yeah.
But here we are. Here we are in take two. For you listening at home, we didn't do the whole show and then do it again. It was just that, just the half of the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to show the people behind the curtain sometimes.
It was a very well executed second take.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, like I said, time is of the essence.
Okay, all right.
So we need to. That's where brilliance is born.
Was gonna say, you know where you can get more time?
No.
Amazon.
I'm not following your logic.
You can buy a time machine, I'm sure, on there.
No, I've looked, man. They're all out of flux capacitors.
Okay. Well, coming soon.
They should sell those on Amazon.
Oh, maybe they do. They might not work, but maybe they do.
But they will deliver it yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. Previous day shipping.
Yes.
That was the better joke.
Okay.
Well, actually labeling it, calling, because it's, you know, that's Super Prime. Amazon Super Prime, you get that previous day.
Right. Okay.
I'll work on this, okay? For next week, I'll have a finely tuned 5 minutes based on Amazon delivering time machines.
Okay. I believe you.
It'll be my tight five. I'll go on the Tonight Show with it, probably.
Looking forward to that.
I feel like I've talked myself into a corner here. Yeah. Yeah. So Amazon, yeah, what Adam's getting at is if you do buy things on Amazon, and who doesn't? Click through our site. You'll see the links up there. It takes you to Amazon, and it's the exact same Amazon experience for you. Same prices, same previous day shipping, and we get a little bit of that, which helps keeps the podcast going. So we thank you in advance, and thank the people who have been and are doing it. Continue to do it.
Okay.
What's going on, Adam?
I just got back from the lake.
The lake.
Yeah, so I was sifting. I was sifting through my photos. I took far too many this weekend. Not
is this again, the lake you were at last year?
I don't think we went last year. We've been many times before.
There was a
we
wharf. Went 2 years ago. A floating dock that you took some pictures on last 2 years ago. Then
okay,
do you remember jumping off the dock?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a thing. We do the jumping off the dock.
Same place is what I'm getting at.
Same place. Yep.
Okay. And
I jumped off the dock.
Lake Superior. That's the lake.
Okanagan Lake.
Lake Huron.
Sure.
We're just going to keep naming lakes
in it's Canada. Lake Okanagan or Okanagan Lake. I don't know which way is right.
I don't know either, but what I do know is you avoided being eaten by the Ogopogo.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's like the mini Loch Ness Monster for those that don't know.
Really? People don't know that?
I would think. I didn't know until I moved here, so.
It's kind of a West Coast thing. It's not even a Canadian thing. It's a West Coast thing. But it's big. I mean, I think we have talked about it last time you were at that lake. It's a big marketing thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they have, there's murals on the side of ice cream places.
Yep, and with playground equipment.
And playground. That can't still be there. It must be new.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, there is a new one sort of in a Kelowna playground that I've passed.
Yeah, because I remember those when I was a kid. You could go and they had the Ogopogo themed playgrounds, which is hilarious. When you're now looking back, and when you're a kid, I mean, I was legitimately frightened that the Ogopogo would kind of, you know, brush my leg while I was swimming. And he often right. did. It might have just been, you know, milfoil or something, but yeah, pretty sure it's Ogopogo.
Yeah, I got attacked by Jaws a few times myself.
In Lake Okanagan?
Sure. In what, any body of water, including swimming pools.
What I'm telling you is that when I was there as a kid, which is, you know, 30 years ago, more than that, 35 years ago, I was so scared of the Ogopogo that this weekend you probably swam in a little bit of my pee.
glad you let me know that.
Yeah, there you go.
I will sleep better tonight.
How was the lake?
It was fun. Yeah. We didn't get the greatest weather, but we had a good time. So made the most of it, so to speak. We got some rainbows. I am a person that appreciates rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there from Friday till Sunday, so 3 days. I saw three separate rainbows, one wow. rainbow per day. I think I've seen that many rainbows in the last 5 years, and I saw that in three consecutive days.
Without the rain, Adam.
Yes.
You can't have rainbows.
Okay.
Write that down on your fridge.
But there's something about the way the mountains with the water and then the storm clouds coming in and out of that area of the world that the locals up there tell me produce lots and lots of rainbows. So
right.
I'm not a lightologist, but there were some pretty cool rainbows up there.
I love it. First of all, I love it up there. I love that area of British Columbia and Canada. That whole region is fantastic. However, I'm just gonna pose this question to you, because this is something that I've talked about with some friends recently, but it was more specifically about small towns and how much I love small towns in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have to live there,
mm-hmm. I 100% agree.
So I'm wondering if up in around Lake Okanagan, is it a place you could imagine living?
No.
Okay. You answered too quickly.
Yeah, no, because we had this discussion. I love visiting. I could not live up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a city boy, and it's funny because they kind of, you know, recognize that, and my wife as well, and we both agree. Yep, it's two different ways of life. That's for sure.
Now, I also felt the same way, being, you know, born and raised in Vancouver and whatnot, and now that I've moved here to Germany, it's a little more rural, which is a word I hate to say, where I am. There's cities around, like very close, but it's definitely a different, it's a shift from what I thought that I was going to live the rest of my life. You know, I thought I'd be a Vancouver guy.
Right.
And so I could see, I'm actually really embracing it, really love it. So I could imagine after probably take a couple of years, I could imagine you really growing to love it up there. But tough to imagine right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hear you. And then I wonder what it does to the lake experience if it's an everyday. Like, you can't have Christmas every day.
That's true.
It's not Christmas. I have just dropped two fridge magnets on you in the span of 3 minutes. You're welcome.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you.
But the best part of the lake, I think, from when you're visiting up there is, especially this area, is like photography. That's what you said. You probably took too many pictures. It's hard not to.
Yeah. And being that, you know, I probably won't be back for 2 years. Maybe we'll go next year. Maybe we won't. But I really do just, there's so many different things going on and fun things that the kids are doing that, yeah, I like to capture it. Because, you know, when I stack it up year after year, it's not a place that we're going to be at. I do like that. I do like sort of almost, you know, seeing them grow up in certain places. So, you mm-hmm. know, having them pose for a photo on the end of the dock, or just catching them doing candid things. And then, you know, seeing again their you know, they're changing every year, and it seems so quick. So both my kids are giants now, and they seem so much more grown up and mature. And so I like catching them doing kind of the silly, fun stuff that one does when they go to the lake, right? The
cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, right?
Yeah. I'm trying not to, but I'm a bit sentimental when it comes to certain activities with the kids. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. Good. And that's the lake. And last thing about the lake, what did you take for a camera?
just the 5D, and I brought the 85 mil lens. I figured I was only bringing one lens, and I knew that sometimes, you know, they might be out in the water, in which case I wanted something that was a little longer range, and I didn't want to pack the 70-200, so the 85 mil is a good happy medium. When you want a group shot, you have to back up, but I'm okay with that.
That's true. No, that's great. I'm really impressed and thrilled and kind of proud, because I think I have something mild to do with it. The fact that you're packing that light and really you're limiting yourself, but forcing you to open up creatively if you need to, like where you're, you know, if you bring every single, we've talked about this many times, but if you bring your whole lens kit, it'll paralyze you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go out and not really enjoy the lake, and everything's going to be like work, and your pictures will suffer, and you limiting yourself to just this one setup is going to give you great results.
Yeah, and there are moments where you think, oh, it'd be nice if I had this, but again, you learn very quickly, okay, you know, with the setup that you have, what you can and can't do with that setup. So,
right.
Yeah, I agree. You have to be creative to get different shots. You want to get a wide angle. Maybe you shoot a bunch of photos and then you piece it together. I did that in one situation, just of a cool sunset that I haven't pieced together yet, but I kind of, but that was the only time that I kind of really thought, oh, this would be cool on a wide angle. So see how it turns out, or maybe it doesn't turn out at all. But otherwise, the 85 mil is a pretty good all around lens when you have room to back up. So,
which is definitely the case in this neck of the nape.
Exactly.
So uh-huh.
I think it works just fine here. And I thought 50 mil would be just more limiting, because, like you say, if you wanted to take something where, you know, the kids were out in the water and or a little distance, now they're pretty small in the frame, so you end up needing to do a lot of cropping, and I would prefer not to do that.
I agree fully. And just the fact that you didn't have to think about, hey, where's my camera gear? What lens do I take? What do I take now? What about this? What about that? That freed you up to enjoy the experience that you're photographing.
Mm-hmm.
And so exactly. you eliminate all that time wasted, and now these photos that you do take mean that much more to you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I hear ya.
What did you do? What did you take? Anything?
Well, I haven't got to that yet. I figured out this is just what's going on. This wasn't even shoot anything interesting. You just bled right in.
Okay.
It's good for you. No, a little tidbit. I went to a buddy's house last night. It was his birthday, so he had the guys over for a couple beers and some sausage, actually, because we're in Germany. You might as well. Right. Central casting. Here we go. So went after practice, and I thought, oh, I'll ride my bike. It's a nice bike ride. And it would have been had it not absolutely opened up into pouring rain 8 seconds into my 45-minute ride.
Well, at least you're close to home.
45 minutes.
Right.
8 seconds in.
Oh, I see. On the way back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
Good point. I meant on the way home. I just kept going, but it was pitch black and just a wall of water. And I thought, oh great, I got another like 45 minutes of this. This is awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
I only bring it up because it literally happened, 6 hours ago.
So, but you made it. You survived.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah. All my clothes are downstairs drying now, which is delightful.
Okay, yeah. So what's the lesson here?
Never ride your bike.
Okay.
Better to just drink and drive.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we drink and drive, people.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. It wasn't even about the drinking and the driving. It was just about, hey, man, it's summer. I could use a good bike ride. I got lights for my bike, you know?
Yeah.
And, didn't matter. Wall of water. So that was just delightful. At one point, though, halfway home, I did, on the bike path, I did pass another cyclist going the other way. And I was like, yeah, you're an idiot. Look at this guy riding his bike. You're going the wrong way.
What are you thinking?
What is going on? It's just raining that way, buddy. Also, more to do with something relevant, I finally figured out why my laptop was doing all that freezing. Remember we talked a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I remember. I'm still on the edge of my seat waiting to find out what happened.
It is absurd what happened. So I had bought a late 2011 MacBook Pro 13-inch MacBook Pro.
Okay.
Because they haven't done a whole lot of updates recently. Like the last update on the MacBook Pro I think was 2012, and the very minor like USB 3 stuff like that, like things I didn't really care about. So I got what I thought was a really good deal. I mean, I think it is a really good deal on a used one when I was in Vancouver last November. And I wanted something a little more compact, like 13, because I had the 15, blah, 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 and much older. I needed to upgrade. I wanted to run all the new stuff.
Gotcha.
So I got it, and my move is throw an SSD in the main hard drive bay, run the operating system off of that. It goes much, much faster. It's great. Runs great. I also like to have lots of storage. I don't like to carry. I don't even want to have a laptop, but my work necessitates that I do, and I don't like carrying external drives with me.
Mm-hmm.
And how many DVDs or CDs have you burned in the last year?
I'm a bad example. I've burned a few only because we have a DVD player in our car. So for road trips, sometimes I'll burn a DVD for in the road trip. But okay. Yeah, but like I say, that outside of that, zero. Just for the car, because that's the way you can play a movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, my kids have imagination, so I don't burn them DVDs. The no, and I actually burned one for a client like who just was in a tough spot, couldn't figure out Dropbox or was having an issue on their computer, you know, something like that. So I had to burn a disk, and that's like the first one I'd burned in over a year. It just never, ever, ever happens.
Right.
And so my move is, first thing I do is I pull the DVD drive, the super drive, out of the new computer, replace it with another hard drive. Okay. So now I'm going to put, I'll have an SSD running the operating system, and then I'll have an actual spinning hard drive just for data. So you get basically, it's like having two hard drives in your tower, but now you have it in your laptop. And it's great. It's a great setup. Burns more battery power, you know, but oh well, that's just too bad. Totally worth it is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
So bought that. Very, very, it's not that difficult to do. You can do it yourself. The little adapter is about, I'm going to say, $15. You can buy cheaper, but don't. I think $15, and then you have to buy the hard drive, which I did. I bought a 1 terabyte Western Digital hard drive, and so now I've got a 1.5 terabyte inside my laptop with the SSD and that.
Okay.
And life was kind of good for a little while, but then everything, all of a sudden, things were starting to hang, and I couldn't figure it out. And long story short, after trying to eliminate every little thing, like I thought this operating system was a problem. Was there a bug? Was there installed? This. I decided I'm just going to go in and unplug the second hard drive and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So pop it open, unplug it. Everything's running smoothly. Now I lose all my data drive, but everything is just purring like a kitten. And I thought, oh my, is it the drive? Like, what's going on? Maybe it's the caddy. Maybe it's the adapters is a problem. So I pull it all out, which wasn't easy. Replace it with a 500 gig drive that I had kicking around. Different Seagate, different brand.
Yeah.
Everything runs perfectly.
Okay,
so,
then.
So I thought, oh boy, I think I have a bad hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I plug that harder. There's a little bit more, Adam. It's getting
okay.
It's
okay.
Getting good now.
Yeah.
So I plug that 1 terabyte drive into an external case. Plug it in. Runs perfectly. So I'm beginning to wonder if there is a secret. Like I can't find any literature on this. If there is a secret limit to what the 13-inch MacBook Pro can handle in terms of hard drive size. It might be a 750 maximum, 750 gig.
Yeah.
And the one terabyte might just confuse it, which was so crazy to me that it would affect the operating system so much. Like, for example, if I was running Lightroom and the photos I'm editing are on the data drive, I could then see how things would slow down. That makes sense.
Really? Yeah.
Well, I could. If a data drive is a problem and I'm accessing files constantly on that drive, I would understand, okay, that if it's a problem, that's going to slow things down. Okay. However, I'm not using that drive at all. It's just sitting there at one point empty. At one point, I deleted it completely, reformatted it,
and
had it just sit there, not using it. It still corrupted the operating system.
Weird.
That's what made me pull my hair out, because that is very counterintuitive.
The weird thing is that if you've thought of, you know, making this adaptation to your computer, you know, somebody somewhere has done the same, and usually, you know, if it's been a problem, you'll find it when you start searching for this problem. It would generally pop up, even as you know, minute a issue as this might seem to you, you'd think that somebody's come across it before. So that's the weird part, that you're unable to see this as an issue. Because that seems like, you know, now there's got to be a million people that have adapted their, you know, 2011 laptops to have a 1 terabyte hard drive, you'd think, right?
A million seems high, but I get your going.
Okay, 500,000.
Yes, even still high, but a big number. I can't find any literature on this.
Weird. Yeah.
Which, yeah, and I didn't even think it was a thing. And so, point being, I now have 1 terabyte total. Lost 500 gig in the deal, but it actually works now, and it flies. That's the thing. Is it's an older computer by regular standards. I mean, it's 5 years old now. But with the SSD in there and the RAM has been, you know, not maxed out, but much it's been doubled. It does really cook on running the what are we on? El Capitan? That's the latest one?
Sure, I haven't changed it, but
yeah, it's awesome. Well, you should think about it, actually. I mean, you know, I don't think you have any software that requires an older operating system, but it's really, really quite good.
Yeah, I just have an old computer that I don't want to update the operating system and see a whole bunch of issues pop up when I don't have those issues now.
We'll talk off camera, off mic about that, perhaps. But anyways, point is, looks like I have it solved after having ordered a new hard drive cable and replacing that, which didn't seem unnecessary now. but hey, at least I have a new one, and I have an extra one kicking around if I need it for parts, which I don't. So there you go, everybody. So as far as I can tell, we've put the final chapter on that saga.
Okay, good to hear.
Okay, so we established that you did shoot something interesting.
Yes.
I also had a little interesting incident at the pool, because this has been the week of the pool. Because the weather has finally turned. It's actually very, very hot. It's very sweaty at night. And so the pool, the outdoor swimming pool is the place to be with the kids. My kids love it. My daughter has a diving mask and snorkel and all of a sudden decided that she can swim. She couldn't swim. She wasn't into it, didn't want to put her face in the water at one point. Now she can't. She's picking the diving ring. I bought her a diving ring because she just loves it so much. She's picking that up off the floor of the pool. Hasn't quite mastered the snorkel, but pretty good. Pretty good. Still gets a lot of water in, but doesn't seem to mind.
Okay.
My son loves the water. He just cannot. He every day, Daddy, can we go to the pool? Can we go to the pool today? And even though it's thunderstorms, still going. He wants to go. We don't. We don't go to the pool when it's thunder.
Okay.
Storms,
thanks for
though.
Clearing that up.
Yeah, no, that's just dangerous.
So they like the pool, is what you're saying?
They like the pool. So we go pretty much every day. That's our thing. Went on Sunday, which is like the hottest day of the year so far. It was like 35 degrees or something like that. And as you can imagine, on a Sunday, jammed. Just wall, like elbow to elbow in the pool. It was unbelievable. Which, I mean, and, you know, of course, me, I do have a lot of complaints about that, where you have elbow to elbow kids, and then, you know, one of the dads brings out a giant inflatable raft. Really? Just like, how many kids are going to get trapped under this thing? But thanks a lot. Way to read the situation, Dad.
Yeah.
But that wasn't it. I just said, okay, I brought my cameras. We were meeting some friends. It was a wonderful, like the weather was great. Like just, you know, going to be wonderful sunshine. So I brought, what did I bring that day? Oh, I brought the I brought the 40D, the 30 mil, but I brought the polarizer because I thought, oh, I'm going to get some amazing shots. And you know what else I'm going to bring? It's just wonderful sunshine. I'm going to bring it. I haven't shot with my Canonette in like a year, so I'm going to throw some 100 ISO black and white in there and just get some really cool black and white film shots.
Okay.
None of that happened. So many people there. I just said, all right, well, these will just stay in the bag.
Yeah.
Totally pointless. So we went back the next night, Monday night. We went back. My wife got home from work, piled the kids in the car for the evening. Like we went in the, I think we left our house at like 5:45 or something like that. Kind of late start for with young kids who go to bed.
Absolutely, yeah.
But just one of those nights where it's just we have to go. It's, you know, it's kind of crazy weather. It's fantastic. So I brought the 40D and the 70-200.
Okay.
Because yeah. I thought I'm going to get some photos here. It's going to be nice evening light. And it was. And there was like nobody there, like 5 people at the pool. So very, very big turnaround from the day before. So okay. Here I am in the pool, just taking pictures of it, in this one whole area. It's just me, my wife, and my kids. And she's got the kids, and my son, he's jumping in the pool. He likes to jump in. So I'm taking pictures of that, and the lifeguard kind of saw the long lens and said something to me like, oh, did you register? With, and he said, "Oh, you're with the press." He saw the long white Canon lens and just right. assumed, "Well, it's got to be the newspaper."
Right.
And I said, "No, I'm at the press. I'm that guy's that kid's dad." And oh well, again, it's all in German, but I'm doing the translation for you. And he said, "Well, you know, we don't really allow cameras in the kids area." And it wasn't the kids' area. There's a whole kids' area, but this is kind of the pool.
Right.
And I said, okay, no, I understand, but, you know, there's no one here, and that's my son. He said, okay, well, don't take too long. So they're like, he's like, go ahead, it's okay.
Hey, he's just like your wife.
Really? All right. Yeah. We'll see. I'll leave that in, see how it plays. So he said, yeah, just go ahead, but really don't push it, which I kind of respected somewhat because, you know, in Canada, it'd be, nope, get out. You can't be shooting here. You know, like that's illegal. Terrible. The worst thing ever. There's not even anybody in the background. Like there's no real issue where I can, I mean, and there could be, I suppose, if I shoot the other direction. There are a few people at the pool, but it's very clear that I'm not shooting them. Very clear.
Right.
And so he let me kind of go ahead as long as I didn't push my luck, which I kind of did anyways, but I wasn't hurting anybody, and that's my policy. Now, the whole point of the story is, I mean, finally, I've never been questioned at this pool before, ever. And I've taken a lot of pictures.
Right.
It was the long lens
yeah.
that did it.
Absolutely.
Which I find a little ironic.
Why?
Well, if you're going to be taking pictures of your kids at the pool, what is likely to eliminate the bulk of the other people there? Long lens, wide angle lens?
Right. I see what you're saying. I just think that, you know, you can be a lot less inconspicuous and get close-ups of anything you want. So that's the other side of the coin.
But if you're doing that, you're like you people will figure that out very quickly.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I would think so too. And again, you're talking about a situation where, you know, there's not a lot of people at the pool to begin with. So I think you should be safe here.
But even in a crowded environment, if you're a guy there just picking off shots, like long lens shots of people, you're not inconspicuous at all. You're very conspicuous. But if you're there with, like, you know, the 85 mil, you leave the lens hood off even to make it even seem even shorter. Well, all of a sudden, you're picking up shots very inconspicuously.
Right.
And so that was the irony. So he saw the long lens, figured, oh, that's terrible. However, especially with the long lens, your background is just going to be gone, like out of focus.
Yeah.
I mean, likely. If you're shooting at 200, you're going to have a very narrow depth of field, or you can. And thus, and I do, I mean, like I have a couple shots of my son swimming where the, you know, he's really, the background just disappears very, very quickly.
You should have given him this talk.
I kind of want to write something
up. Should have given him your card, your Two Hosers, you know, business card.
Don't have any waterproof ones. That's the issue. That was the main issue. Otherwise, we would have had a sit down, him and I. Yeah. No, he was very understanding because he read the situation and was very clear that I was there shooting my own kids, so he was cool about it. But all right, let's get it. Speaking of shooting at the pool, I got some shots. I shot some challenge photos there.
Okay,
so let's get into the challenge. You said water fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we had fun in the water. So I'll go first this week.
Okay,
there's my son, the head on one, the one where you see his face head on.
Yeah. This is a cool looking photo. I had to look at the other photo that you sent, the reveal photo, to figure out what was going on here. Because
I debated even posting that one. Should I post the reveal, or should people just know? Like, it would just, the mystery is the mystery better?
Yeah, I like the reveal, but it, to me the photo when I first looked at it, it looked like it was underwater.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it totally looked like it had sort of an underwater look. So I couldn't figure out what was going on here. So do you want to allude to what you did here, or do you want to just leave it for the people to find out on their own?
I'm not sure. That's why I asked you what you thought. We are a show that talks about how to do stuff. So let's talk about the photo first. What do you think of the photo? Like, besides, you know, that it is, you know, underwater, what are some of your impressions?
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. I like his pose. I like that it's weird because he should have a different expression on his face with this photo.
In terms like that's, of,
he should look excited, or he should look scared, or he should look happy. He looks like he's posing for a photo that he can't possibly be posing for. It's such a interesting. It's like he's sitting on the couch when he's flying through the air with his water wings on, about to hit impact, and water spraying everywhere. He couldn't have a more calm expression on his face. That part is just unusual to me. I'm used to the huge gasp or the eyes wide open or a weird kind of mouth or something here that says you're sailing through the air. And I mean, he's done this before. He knows he's going to smack the water. Mm-hmm. Some preparation for that. So as opposed to just kind of, I'm just going to casually look over at dad and play it cool. So
I'm not even sure he's looking at dad. Like, that's the thing. This is a complete fluke. The look on his face, and the, because he won't look at the camera in life. Like in regular life, he will avoid me at all costs. So right. Much so that later on, when the sun was setting, this was that evening at the pool. The sun was setting; it was beautiful, and they have these large lawns there, like wide open areas. And so I was trying to shoot my son in this wonderful golden light, and he just started crying. And he said, "I swear to you," he said, "put the camera away."
Oh yeah, I've heard it a million times.
From a 2-year-old?
Just from my kids over the years. They've always been, "Hey, Dad, no photos." No,
yeah.
Not.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, "Wow, son. How about you just walk home?" Okay. No, but the point being, so I had the super long lens and I was across the pool shooting this. So I don't even know if he actually saw me. So this might just be a happy accident.
Yeah.
But what about the color?
Very blue.
I went blue with it. I shot it. It looked a little bit blue because it was in the shadows. Yeah. And I thought, oh, should I warm it up? And then I thought, no, let's go the other way. Let's cool it down.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just a choice I made, just because I just kind of felt like, eh.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I mean, I'd have to see the, you know, the warmed version and compare them. But I first looked at it, I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with it being cool. To me, that's what it looked like. I thought you'd probably, you know, increase the blues or increase the saturation of them or whatnot. But it works just fine. I don't think in any way it hurts it in a negative way. I like what it does to the water behind him too, by increasing those blues and the water wings too. So yeah, it reminded me of the, what's that album cover of The Kid in the Pool?
Nirvana.
Yeah.
Never mind.
A little bit. Yeah. Just because my first thought was, hey, he's underwater and just kind of the angle of his body and all that. But then, yeah, I figured out what was going on.
All right, so here's the reveal. This is like a big mushroom waterfall in the middle of the pool.
Right.
Now, I don't think I have a wide shot of that right now, but I'll try to track one down.
I think we can figure it out from the reveal picture.
Right. Okay. And so it's a 360 thing. A lot of kids are scared. He was scared of it at first, like last year when he was one, but Daddy forced him to go under it this year, and he loves it now. And so his thing now is he loves it when I stand in there with him, and then throw him through the waterfall, and then he lands in the pool.
Right.
That's his big, he loves it. When we go and do it, it's just again, again, again. So here's a reveal. I took a side shot because I wasn't sure what was, I had something very specific in mind, either coming out towards the camera or coming out sort of at a 90. And the 90 didn't really work. The look on my son's face and everything, it's cool, but I found it just too revealing. Like, also, this was, I only had a couple of shots at this because the left guard had already told me, hey, wrap it up, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have time to communicate to my wife that she should have backed up a little bit. Like, I wanted her to throw him and let go of him on the inside so that he comes flying out by himself. And so the way she was throwing him, her hands kind of got in it. So you can see that's my wife there behind the water. And just kind of, eh. If she had stood back and thrown him and sort of been out of the picture and he would come bursting out of the water, it would have been a much better photo from this angle.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's the reveal. That's what's happening.
Well, it's a good photo. I like it.
All right. Well, moving on.
Okay.
So let's have a look at yours. Okay. You have two.
Yeah. Two different angles. Like, I like both of them. Different reasons. I think maybe we'll just go with the number two one, where she's coming, she's kind of paddling directly towards the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so this was my daughter kayaking. So she had done it once before at my brother has a cabin on a different lake on the island, Vancouver Island. And so she tried it about a week ago. And so they had kayaks at the cabin this weekend. And so she was really excited to want to go out there. So she went out with mommy and with one of the ladies that was there who hosted us. And they took the kayaks out and did some paddling around. And I just wanted to snap a shot. It was midday sun and she's got a hat on. So I basically, did the best I could.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, there was basically a bit of reflection off of the water that helped a little bit. And I did have a flash. I thought about doing high speed sync, but she was too far away. So mm-hmm. I just basically snapped the photo. And
so you're on the dock here?
Yeah, so I'm sitting on the dock. So I'm trying to get as level as I can, eye level to her as I can, because that's the vantage point that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then so as she comes paddling by, I'm lying down on the dock to get as low an angle as I can to her so that when she comes by, I feel like I'm as close to being in the water as I can without actually being, because it's pretty deep there, and I'm to try to tread water and take this photo would be pretty difficult. So I just perched myself on the dock and picked the background that I wanted, and that's it. And then had to bring up the shadows a little bit and try to bring down the highlights in order to, like you talked about last week, the save, to try to even it out in the middle, and there you go.
But, I mean, there's our parts that you left, like her hat, you lose her hat.
Yes, yes.
So what?
Yes, big deal.
Unless you're a hat enthusiast, you're going to be okay with this.
Yes, and again, I didn't want to have the sky completely blow out, and I didn't want to have the water completely blow out, and so I was more or less looking at, the bulk of the image, where it was going to fall in the middle, and then, yeah, I wanted to be able to see her face. I didn't want that to be completely dark in shadows, but yeah, at some point, you're going to lose something, so in this case, it's part of the hat.
Mm-hmm. That's just how it goes. I mean, you don't like it, shoot at sundown, but you're going to let your kid go out and kayak and sundown, maybe you will, but
maybe, yeah.
Other than that, no, it's there's a few things working for this shot. One of them is the lens that we talked about earlier. The 85 really does a good job here. had you shot this with something wider and everything just be in focus, just and you would have, by including so much more in the picture, just it would just kind of take away from what this is about.
Right.
Also, it seems like a fairly high shutter speed because we're seeing those water droplets.
Yeah, I think it's frozen. 1/2000th or 1/2500th of a second.
And then
it's a servo tracking. So, because she's not stopping and posing for me, she's just paddling by, mm-hmm. and I just took like three shots as she sailed by.
Yes. The other thing that really kind of works for this that you mentioned is the angle. Like this would be a lot more of a boring shot had you just shot it from standing up, which I point out because the bulk of people that I see taking these sorts of photos, whether it's at the pool or at baseball or whatever event thing that their kids are doing, they're taking them from standing up. Like I see the number of people taking their cell phone pictures, which at the pool, which evidently is totally fine. My long lens problem, cell phone pictures, way worse.
Yeah.
However, they're standing on the deck of the pool shooting down to their kids. Those are terrible, terrible shots.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I don't know that we've talked enough about that.
Yeah.
You know, the angle is everything for this because I'll get nothing but water if I take that shot.
Yes.
The entire background, the mountains, the greenery back there, just the fact that we're on Okanagan Lake. Like, if I look at this background, right away I know where this was taken. Versus if I take that shot standing up, I have no clue. It's some body of water somewhere. Mm-hmm. Where did we go when Sarah was, bathtub. You know, nine? Yeah, it could be anywhere. So I could not agree with you more on that fact. And I think about that more and more with every photo I take. Like, how am I going to not only get the sort of, you know, the action of what's going on, but how am I going to get the angle right that this makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of this is I too took a bunch of those photos standing up where I said, oh well, this is not good. Eye level is good.
And you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and we're gonna call an audible this week and make that the topic of the show.
Okay.
That wasn't the plan. We had something else planned.
Oh, okay. We're going ahead with that.
That's it. Like that is gonna be the 60-second takeaway. This week's topic is eye level.
Okay, well we're done.
Pretty much done. Yeah, but this is the thing is I'm gonna have to go and shoot an example of eye level versus from above just to show, which I haven't done yet. I will do that before this is published and include it on the webpage. But everything Adam just said. Get down low, and that this is what I do. This is why I have my beater camera for the pool, because I get in the pool, right. So that my camera can be right at water level without going in. Now the pool that we shot, I'll include a picture of my son swimming the exact same day that I took my challenge photo. I actually took because there was no people there. I felt comfortable enough taking my 40D with the 70-200. Into the actual pool,
right?
Because it's about chest deep, or like my daughter can barely touch, she can touch on her own without barely like keep her face just above the water. That's the level it is. So I'm comfortable. I'm not like you. Like you were saying, you have to tread water with a camera. That would be horrible. Yeah. This one is I can just stand there, but. I'm going to go ahead and post a picture of my son swimming, and you can see the difference of... I'm actually just doing that right this second so that you can see it, Adam.
Okay.
And then we'll talk, and that'll be the example of why I do have a beater that I'll take into the pool with me.
I have a question for you. So yes. This is a question that I have my own answer to, but I want to hear your answer. So if you're taking a group shot then, so mm-hmm. you're taking, you know, and you've got obviously a variety of different heights and you might have a lower row where you've got some kids in front of a standing row of adults, where do you stick eye level in that situation?
I kind of go in between. I pick the middle height.
I 100%, that's exactly what mm-hmm. I was going to say. And I think once you do that, I think you'll see why. Because if you line it up, you know, with the tallest person or with the adults in the back row, then again, you get the same problematic vantage point where you're kind of looking down on the children. And it's the same with portraits of kids. And I'm sure we've talked about this in the past, in that, you know, we're taller for the most part, unless your kid's a giant, mm-hmm. but we're taller than the kids. And then if you take your photos, like we've seen a million photos on social media taken this way, you know, from the adult's perspective of your child, it just doesn't look right. Now, when you get down low and you know, get on one knee or whatever and get eye level with them, it's a much more pleasing looking photo. So I think that the group photo, you know, there's something, and if anything, I almost feel like I would err in the group photo on the slightly lower side mm-hmm. than on the higher side. So if I went middle or even just a little bit low, outside of, you know, you might, if you go too low, you might get sort of the double chin effect on a few of the taller adults. I think still it's more pleasing shooting slightly below eye level than it is, again, erring on the other side.
True. Now, for your action shots, like your fun at the pool or, what, like again, every other thing with your kids, get that camera down. I just posted a picture. You can see it in the folder. There's my son in the water.
Okay.
These are not the pictures your people are getting with their iPhones from the pool deck.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, that's great. Exactly. No, you can't do this. Unless there happens to be a dock in the middle of the pool there.
Well, you could go on the very edge of the pool and, you know, with your iPhone and shoot this something like this. But
get close, yeah.
But people don't. I see people standing there and just kind of quickly, I guess in the middle of doing their Snapchatting, they just quickly, you know, take a shot of the top of their kid's head. Not nearly engaging. You don't get the depth. Like, this is what you want to do. This is what I want to do almost every time. Mm-hmm. So, that's it. From now on, people, my advice to you is get down low and snap this kind of shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Photo challenge for next week. You'd think we'd have tied it in, but this was an audible. I didn't know we were going to talk about this. We had something else planned. So I don't know if you're going to get an eye level shot. Can you do it?
Maybe.
Well, we don't have to. We can come back to that.
Okay. Well, let's say yes.
That yes, you can do it?
Yes. Yeah, say yes that I can do it.
All right. The challenge this week is get down to eye level.
Okay.
All right. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and also on the Two Hosers Facebook site.
And you can find mine at AlanAtridge.com and the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the photos and links and everything we just talked about. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.